Church family, it's so good to see you. We're all here together. Praise God. Well, some are still following online, but there's a good group here. Praise God for you who are all in, here in person, and we welcome those who are joining us online too. And Brendan and team, thanks so much for having that song as the one just before I came to preach, because it really set me up, and I appreciate that. And I just want to say, though, before we get into the message, that there will be a funeral service here for a good friend and somebody you all know fairly well. Jack Diamond passed away a week ago Friday. And his funeral service will be here in this room on Monday, July 11th at 2 p.m. And come on out and support Shirley and the family. Jack ministered in this church and in many others in our family of churches. And he was such a beautiful man. He mentored me. And just, if there was an epitaph to put on Jack's grave, it would be, he loved people. He loved people with the love of God. That was him. So come on out, support Shirley and the family as we celebrate his life at that service on Monday, July 11th, 2 p.m. You know, there's quite a few important things about this Sunday. And I hope you woke up on Friday morning thanking God that you're a Canadian citizen. You know, yeah, and Canada has always ranked within the top five of quality of life index, according to the United Nations, you know, who monitor these kind of things. So we are a privileged group. So I hope you woke up with a word of thanks on your tongue to the Lord and for your country. And another thing about this morning, this is the first Sunday of the month, so it's Communion Sunday, and I hope you have one of these. If you don't, one of the ushers can get one for you. And if you're at home, maybe you want to get that ready for later on in the service when we celebrate the Lord's Supper together. And the third thing about that's new for this weekend is we're beginning a new sermon series on the Psalms. And I have the privilege of bringing the Word of God today. And it'll go most of the summer, and it'll be mainly on the Psalms, but we're getting a few guest speakers here and there during Jamie's sabbatical to fill in, and we'll be hearing from our district leaders. Dwayne Taves was here during the ordination service of Pastors Zach and Brian, and he will be coming and sharing the Word of God with us. And also, the new district superintendent, Mark Peters, is going to be preaching this summer to us, and we have the privilege of hearing from these people throughout the summer. You know, Psalms are some of the easiest books in the Bible to read. Because, you know, we often see ourselves in the events that the psalmist is describing, or we hear the words that we ourselves might say to God if we were in a similar situation. We see ourselves saying those same kind of things to God as what we're reading in the Psalms. I want to ask you, have you ever expressed your thoughts and feelings about your relationship with God to him? You ever tried to even, maybe you've even, as an artistic person, you might have tried to write a song or a piece of poetry or something like that to express your relationship of faith to him. Have you done that? I see a few nodding heads. Some are saying, no, I never write poetry. But, you know, if you've done that, you've likely written a song. Some of you are journalists in the sense that you write things that you're feeling and thinking. Maybe you've journaled and you've written out your feelings, how you think about God. Many of the Psalms include a combination of lyrical prose. Sometimes they're expressions of gratitude. Sometimes there's affirmations of one's faith in those Psalms when they say, God, I trust in you. Sometimes there's an expression, God, I can't trust in you. It's just the opposite. Sometimes there's a recounting of recent history. And sometimes there's an eloquent confession of sin. But a lot of the Psalms are unhindered worship. They're unbound worship. And David just lets loose, and other authors like the sons of Korah and many others, they write songs and they just let it loose in praise to God. There's even an imprecation in a few of the Psalms where somebody is basically cussing out somebody else. I don't know if you've noticed that when you've read them. But that's what the Psalms are all about. People taking their trials and their triumphs to God and talking about those with Him. In fact, as we go through this series, I encourage you to compose a psalm in your heart and your mind as you even listen to the sermons. It would be a good thing for us to do. It'd be a good practical application. Say it to God. Let's call those Psalms 151 and counting. You know, as believers, we have desires and expectations, and we believe in a God who answers prayer, and we bring God those expectations and desires sometimes. And this Psalm 40 is an example of many prayers expressed to God. And as we look at it today, I want you to imagine yourself composing a similar one this week. In fact, it's a good practical application for any of the Psalm sermons that you'll hear this summer. So this is what it says. And as I go through it, try and find three themes. Well, there's probably 10 themes in here. But see if you can guess the ones I picked out to talk about today. It's a great amalgam of prayers. There's a lot of different expressions of prayer here. So let's read it. Or you can follow it on the screen here. I waited patiently for the Lord. He turned to me and heard my cry. He lifted me out of the slimy pit, out of the mud and mire. He set my feet on the rock, and He gave me a firm place to stand. He put a new song in my mouth, a hymn of praise to our God. Many will see and fear the Lord and put their trust in Him. Blessed is the one who puts his trust in the Lord, who does not look to the proud, who does not turn aside to false gods. Many, Lord my God, are the wonders you have done, the things you have planned for us. None can compare with you. Were I to speak and tell of your deeds, they would be far too many to declare. Sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but my ears you have opened. Burnt offerings and sin offerings you did not require. And then I said, here I am. I've come. It's written about me in the scroll. I desire to do your word. My God, your law is written in my heart. I proclaim your saving acts in the great assembly. I do not seal my lips, Lord, as you know. I do not hide your righteousness in my heart. I speak of your faithfulness and your saving help. I do not conceal your love and your faithfulness from the great assembly. Do not withhold your mercy from me, Lord. May your love and faithfulness always protect me. For troubles without number surround me. My sins have overtaken me, and I cannot see. They are more than the hairs of my head, and my heart fails within me. Be pleased to save me, Lord. Come quickly, Lord, to help me. May all who want to take my life be put to shame and confusion. May all who desire my ruin be turned back in disgrace. May those who say to me, aha, aha, be appalled at their own shame. But may all who seek you rejoice and be glad in you. May those who long for your saving help always say, the Lord is great. But as for me, Lord, I'm poor and needy. May the Lord think of me. You are my help and my deliverer. You are my God. Do not delay. Amen. This psalm has three themes that David experiences in his relationship with God. It's kind of like an amalgam or a mixture of prayer with these themes that I found here. David finds himself, first of all, in trouble, and he gets help out of that trouble. David knew troublesome times, either through his own terrible decisions, as in the case of his adultery with Bathsheba and murder of Bathsheba's husband, or in this circumstance, probably due to him being a fugitive from the king he had served so faithfully as a musician. That king was wanting to kill him. David had his fair share of troublesome times. I think it's a universal human experience that we go through difficult times, and we have tough times in our lives, and we need help to get out of them. You know, David had his fair share. Many times he was betrayed, even by his own son Absalom. More than once, he was on the run from people who wanted his life. In fact, one time he even had to feign insanity before a king with whom he made an alliance in order to get out of the possibility of being killed. Now, the mud he speaks of in these verses, he lifted me out of the slimy pit, out of the mud and the mire, and he set my feet on a rock. He's recounting God's deliverance of him. David had a desperate plea. And, you know, we have the same thing. In one of the translations of Psalm 40, it says, I cried and I cried and I cried out to God. I waited and I waited patiently for him. And finally, he answered me. Have you ever been in such a state like that, where you were waiting on God for something? Finally, he thought you were answered by him. Notice in this recounting of David's testimony here that it's all God's work. He lifted me out of the slimy pit. He set my feet on a rock. He gave me a place, a firm place to stand. He put a new song in my mouth, a hymn of praise to God. That's God's grace, his action on our behalf when we couldn't do anything about it. He's the one who did all those things. It takes humility, though, when God reaches down to pull you out of that pit. You have to have humility and faith in order to grab it, to get out of what trouble you're in. One time I was hiking on the West Coast Trail, and something interesting happened. We were all carrying these massive Monty Python-sized backpacks along this narrow trail. And as we were crossing other hikers who were coming from the other direction, we were in this rocky area with lots of crevices and crags. And as often happens when you're hiking with a big backpack, somebody tipped over in the middle of the trail, and they were on their backpack stuck in the crevice of a rock, and they looked kind of like a beetle flipped over. You know how the arms and the legs are waving, and nobody could help? Nobody. She couldn't get herself out of that with any amount of human effort. So one of the guys in our group, Bert, went over and extended a hand to her. And I don't know if she just felt like she could do it herself, but she ignored the hand and kept struggling. And at this point, I thought, I'm going to sit down and watch this show. So I took my backpack off and sat on a rock, and I was going to see her if she could get out of that predicament. And she couldn't. And long story short, one of her friends finally came, and she grabbed that hand and was, extricated from the rock and was able to go on. That's an illustration of where we get sometimes with trouble in our lives. And it takes somebody beyond our own human power to be able to get us back on track. And in this picture, in the psalm, that's what happened to David. He knew he was stuck. He knew he couldn't get out with his own effort. He knew that God was putting down a hand of mercy to him for him to grab. And he had to grab it by faith, and he did. I just want to pause for a minute here. I want you to close your eyes, and I want you to think of a troublesome time that you're either going through or you had recently. That's the muck that you're stuck in. Join me in this meditative exercise. Just close your eyes and think of the last time you were in trouble. Name that trouble to God right now. Whisper it to him in prayer. And now God's hand is coming down. You're that person mired. I don't know what your mire is. Could be a broken relationship. Could be a lost job. Could be financial trouble. Could be any number of things what your trouble is. Could be of your own making. Could be due to circumstances beyond your control. But as you're floundering, flailing away, trying to get out of it, see the hand of mercy coming down. See that healing. See that forgiveness. See that restoration in that hand. Reach up. Reach up to it. Grab it. It's God's hand. It's God's hand of mercy. He's got a strong grip on you. He sees your plight. He's pulling you out of it. Say a word of thanks to him right now. Thank you, Lord. The next thing David does, the second theme he has, is he's testifying to God's grace and mercy in his faith community about what God did for him. Now, the relevant scriptures in this text are many. He says, I'm not going to keep quiet in your church, basically. He says that about four times in this psalm. Because of what you've done for me, God, I can't keep quiet about this. I got to tell somebody. And several times in this psalm, he says, Lord, I'm not going to keep quiet in your assembly. I'm going to tell people about what you're doing. If I were to tell of your deeds, they would be too many to declare, he says. I proclaim your saving acts in the great assembly. I speak of your faithfulness and your saving help. I don't conceal your love and faithfulness from the great assembly. It's a good thing to testify on what God is doing for us. Sometimes you may get a chance to do that in this fellowship. But you know what? Testify about it to other people, your neighbors. If God's done something good for you, tell people about it, if they ask about your relationship with God, at least. You know, in our congregation, we've got many people who are struggling physically, and some of them are hospitalized right now. I think of Mary Ann's and a few others. And our dear brother Jack was hospitalized before he passed away. But some are finding healing. And right now, I'd like us to hear a testimony from somebody in our congregation who has experienced the mercy from God, and I asked him if he would share about it via video here. So let's watch Martin here.
During the first 8 decades of my life, I was never an inpatient in a hospital. But during the last year or so, I think I've made up for that. A number of months ago, I was diagnosed with prostate cancer. But before a program of treatment could be set up for me, I became seriously ill with another medical issue altogether and was taken to hospital where I stayed, either in Langley Hospital or Abbotsford Hospital, for many weeks. Finally, that issue was dealt with and I went home. And during this time, of course, the prostate cancer was on the back burner. My wife had been busy sending emails to friends who love the Lord around the world, asking them to pray for me. I hadn't been home long when I received a telephone call from the office of the urologist saying he wanted an appointment with me to discuss treatment for my cancer. And I was given a date 3 weeks ahead of that time. At the same time, he wanted a new test for the prostate cancer, and it was done. And then he wanted yet another one for some reason. On the day of the appointment, he said to me, I have a situation that I have a problem with. He said, because something has happened here that I can't explain, and there is no medical explanation, he said. The cancer which was diagnosed and verified in you months ago has completely disappeared from your body. You have no cancer whatsoever in your prostate, and I can't explain it. I heard myself say, well, I think I can. My wife and I are followers of Jesus, and my wife got a crowd of people known to us who were praying for me, and I believe God has done something. He almost interrupted me and said, "Well, it worked." I'm so grateful to the Lord for this miracle. And it's been great to share it with many people and to share it with you now. The Lord is faithful and gracious and says to his people, "Don't be afraid to ask me favors. I love doing favors for my children." And I give all the praise, all the honor to him. Hallelujah.
Woo! Bless you, Martin. You know, I've been blessed to hear a lot of testimonies like that in our gospel community group, to hear about the challenges they're going through. It's not always great answers. There's still challenges. But it's great to see how God is answering some prayers, and he's given mercy to us in our time of need. It's been so edifying in our group, and we have gained strength to live a life of faith together. And I encourage you and your gospel community groups to hear each other's faith journeys and to enjoy a time of mutual spiritual edification. David testified that the source of his help was God. It wasn't some pop psychology book or TV show that he was watching. It was God helping him. The third theme in this psalm is because of that perceived mercy in David's life, he recommitted and dedicated his life to God in prayer. The relevant scriptures in this are verses 7 and 8, where David says, and these have messianic overtones when he says, "Here I am, I've come to do your will. I desire to do your will, my God. Your law is within my heart." And then he says in verse 13, "Be pleased to save me, Lord. Come quickly, Lord, to help me." Paul, when he wrote to a church in Rome, he said this: "In view of God's mercy, brothers and sisters, dedicate yourselves to God." You know, you can't really make a dedication and a commitment to God without realizing his mercy first. And I kind of think that our commitments to God are only as deep as the grace and mercy that inspire them. If you are profoundly aware of something that God has done in your life, then that's a possibility for a dedication of yourself to him. Paul goes on to say, dedicate your minds and your bodies as living sacrifices to God. Do it by faith. Now, I realize that you may still be waiting on God for mercy and help out of a troublesome situation that you're going through. In fact, some of you may be downright disappointed with God even now. And that disappointment may be even bordering on anger. Like, why haven't you shown up for me like you showed up for David and for Martin here? That thought may still be on your mind. But there's going to be an opportunity for us after we take communion for you to come and say your psalm to God. Express your disappointment. Ask him for mercy. Reach that hand up so you're pulled out of the muck that you're in. Right now, I'd like the worship team to just come up. And they're going to play instrumentally a song. And it's a song of dedication. It's called "Take My Life and Let It Be Consecrated, Lord, to Thee." They'll play it instrumentally, but I'd like to lead us in a time of communion right now. And please take your communion cups. These are the elements of Jesus' broken body and his shed blood. They're broken for us, so that we can have new life in him. Just peel back that cellophane and get the bread first. the wafer. This is Jesus' body, which is broken for us. He said, take this in remembrance of me. Let's take that now. And as you do, thank him for his sacrifice on the cross for you, recognizing his mercy toward you. That night that he met with his friends, it's called the Last Supper, he said to them when he took the cup, he said, this is my blood which is poured out for you in the new covenant. Drink of it, all of you, in remembrance of me. Let's take together. A scripture verse that is very meaningful to me says this: Jesus died for all so that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who was raised again. In view of Christ's mercy on the cross, I pray that you'll examine how deep that is. And then in view of that mercy, you'll want to make a prayer of dedication. Today is a special Sunday in that we have some refreshments for you out in the lobby and here at the counter. But before you get to that, I don't want you to be distracted by it. I don't want you to be led from what God may be asking you to do today. But if you feel like you're mired in something that you can't get out of on your own, God's here. God's here to help you out of that mire. I don't know what muck you're in. He knows. You know. And you can come forward with it. And you can reach that hand that is reaching down to you. You can grab a hold of it. And maybe you're still disappointed with God in some way. And the psalm that you would say to God this morning is one of disappointment. Well, we have prayer people to help you say that too. And you know, sometimes there may be groans and sighs, and you can't even form the words because you're so upset. But you know, God says those groans and sighs are some of the best prayers he's ever heard. So as we sing this song, and you feel God moving your heart to do so, then you come. Don't come just because there may be some coming, but come with your burden. Kneel down here. Lay it down here. Our prayer people will be ready to come alongside you and put an arm around you and say, let's bring this to God together. And you can leave it there. You can leave it with him. He'll take care of it. So as we sing the song and you feel God touching you, then you come. I'll be here.